What's up, Rod Church?
Hey, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to church. How many excited you came to church today? Aren't you glad you made that decision today? And you know what it took to get here. Come on. You knew what you fought to get here. You knew what it took to make it here. The kids, the stuff last night, the stuff this morning, the things fighting for your time, but you made it. And I believe God's gonna bless you for that. He's gonna speak to you. He wants to change you and fill you today. So welcome to church, everybody. God bless you. I wanna say hello to everybody joining us online, all of our campuses, everybody joining with us, watching at a later day, everybody in the room. Just celebrate. Let's clap our hands one more time. We're here at church. God's here. We're one big family. My name is Travis, and I'm one of the pastors, and we're finishing up today our series entitled The Way, and we'll get there in just a minute, but I wanted to celebrate what took place this past week. Last week, we had over 200 and something people get baptized, going public with their faith. I just wanted to highlight that moment. And then yesterday, I heard that we had around 540 people, mostly students and young adults, by the way, that were serving and attending our one-day ministry event called Encounter. Come on, anybody go to Encounter yesterday? Wow. It's one of the ways that you become a disciple and take steps on this journey. And so I wanted to take a moment to celebrate that, but also to invite you back next week, next Sunday. Our senior pastor, my pastor, Miles McPherson, has a very special message on Cinco de Mayo. I heard there may be some churros. I heard there may be some mariachi. I don't know. But definitely there will be a message in both Spanish and English. Come on, somebody. That's amazing. He's been working hard, and we're gonna have an interpreter on stage with him as well. But what a perfect week, look up here, what a perfect week to invite your Spanish-speaking family member, guest, friend, who maybe normally wouldn't go to church here, but they go, man, I can come this week, I can come next week, Cinco de Mayo, I'm gonna come. I got family that prefers hearing the word in Spanish. I'm inviting all of them as well, so just wanna encourage you to do the same. Last week, we also did a spiritual assessment. We had about 1,700 people do the assessment, which means we had like 6,300 people that didn't do the assessment. It's all good, no problem. I wanna give us another chance to do it right now. Get your phones out, I'm gonna do it with you. If you weren't here last week, we're on a journey to help everybody become disciples who know God, grow in community, and then make a difference. Part of growing is you need to know where I'm starting from. That's all this is. This isn't really for us, it's for you, but kind of be honest about where you are. So you can get your phone out right now, you can scan this QR code. Click the link that it gives you. It'll take you right to this spiritual health assessment, and you can answer some questions. Hey, how often do I read my Bible? Am I doing that daily? When I hear God speak to me, am I responding to Him? Do I engage in actively sharing my faith? And we thought this would be equipping for you to know, man, where am I at? I've been coming, or maybe you're brand new today, and you're like, wow, this is great. A test on the first Sunday. Wow. Just a way to help you go, man, here's where I'm at. And I wonder if you gave your life to the Lord and fully committed everything to Him, where you'd be next year this time. And so we'll probably do this again next year and go, hey, we were at a 2 with sharing our faith, but guys, look where we're at now. We're at a 4. We've been changing the city. And so I want you to take that. You can do it right now. Take another 30 seconds to go through it. Put your name. Put your information. You'll get a response back from us with some tools on how you can keep growing. You'll be able to save and see your answers. Awesome. How many need 30 more seconds? Give you 30 seconds. Hit submit. Awesome. Thank you for doing that. I think that's helpful. I don't know about you, but I think that's helpful to have something in my hands that I can go, here's where I'm at. Here's a starting place as I continue to grow in my faith, even if it's your first time and you're brand new. So God bless you, and thanks for doing that online as well. You can text next steps to 52525. At the top is the spiritual health assessment, and you can find out the answers for yourself. But today, we're gonna finish our last week in our series entitled The Way. Someone shout The Way. How many know there's a right way and a wrong way? We're trying to get you the right way. Because the way is all about discovering that God wants us to become disciples who take steps towards spiritual growth and transformation. And we're doing this because that is our mission. That's really our literal mission statement as a church, is to make disciples who know God, grow in community, and then go make a difference. And so in the first week, we showed you the discipleship pathway. That's our mission. We broke it up in three sections. And here are some ways that you can take steps that are all about knowing God. We can go to that next one. Literal steps. My first step is to make a decision for Jesus. And then I'm gonna get water baptized like over 200 people did last Sunday. And then maybe I'll go to life class and I'll go to Kingdom Life and experience what encounter is all about. All of those are steps. And so we introduced that to you on the first week. We really believe that these aren't all the steps, but as a church, we say, hey, these are pretty good. Come on now. I start doing some of these are pretty good. In week two, Pastor Miles gave us a message on how to know God and start the right way in the morning. Have an incredible morning, a miraculous, marvelous morning, and know God intimately from the moment you wake up. Week two, which was last week, I spoke on this idea that God wants us to grow in community. We're better together. Come on, when we go together, we grow together. That's what God wants for us. Today, I wanna talk about making a difference with your life. So would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me? Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful that we came today. Thank you for bringing us here. We knew what it took to get here. All the spiritual warfare that's happening on the way here, as we walked up to the church doors, as we leave here, on the drive home, later this week, there's stuff that wants to pull all of us away from you. But today, Lord, for the next 30 minutes, just help us to hear from you. Make us more like your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about all the different people in preparation for this message that have made a difference in my life. And if you went back and you thought about it, you'd probably pick out a couple people and go, well, this person, maybe it's mom, maybe dad, maybe it was a teacher. And there are many, but the one that maybe stood out for me as it pertains to today's message was our pastor, my pastor, Miles McPherson. And I thought about his yes to God and how powerful his yes to God was. And because he said yes to the Lord and realized, man, I got gifts in town, I'm an evangelist, he started this church in the year 2000. So I just want to take a second to tell our pastor, Pastor Miles, I love you and I'm so grateful for you. Just want to honor you and say thank you for your yes. Thank you for starting this church. Thank you for changing our city. Thank you for changing our world. Because you said yes to God, you made a difference. And he made a huge difference in my life. In fact, he started the church in the year 2000. And the year 2005 is when I found the Rock Church and started attending with a buddy of mine, Terrence, and still attends. And we're still in a community together and help encourage each other. In 2006, I recommitted my faith. I'd grown up in a Christian home. In 2006, I said, I'm going to recommit my faith. I'm going to go all in for Jesus. And then I got water baptized shortly after and had friends and family. Just like last week, people had friends and family. They went in the water and came out and celebrated their faith in Jesus. I'm not going back. I did that same thing, 2006. It was here at this church because of Pastor Miles. Yes, at this church, I discovered my gifts, my talents, my purpose. I met some of my best friends, the best men in my wedding. I met here at this church. I said best men because I had three best men. That's a little bougie. I had three best men. No big deal. I'm getting three. We do three. You're all good. You're all the best. I met my wife here. Come on, somebody. Met Vanessa at church. Hey. Come on. Serve the house, find a spouse. That's what God does. Met Vanessa here. I became a pastor here in 2012 and just have been on this journey with the Lord. My life has been changed incredibly, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that God in his great plan orchestrated all of this, but he used a man who said yes, who realized that he had a call in his life, that realized I have the gift of evangelism, and started this church and believed God and said, God, I will go make a difference with my life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are, say it with me, yes, in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to glorify God. So God says, there's a yes on your life. There's a yes on your life. And with our obedience back to him, we say, amen, Jesus, I believe that. I agree with you. Use me, God. I want to make a difference. I'm in. And look up here. It's not just Pastor Miles. Everybody has a yes. It's not just the senior pastor. It's not just the person speaking. It's not just the worship leader holding the microphone. It's not just the person out by the door that you see every single, oh, they look so holy. I know they got it. No, every single person has a yes. Everybody has something inside of them that God put there. Every single person has something that God put inside that was designed to make a difference. Now imagine if you believe that and you said yes to God and believe that he wanted you to make a difference in this world, and you said, God, I'm in. Yes, and amen. Yes, God, I will give you my life. Yes, God, I will be obedient when you call me. Yes, God, I will live faithfully. Yes, God, I will serve you with all my heart. Yes, God, I will use my gifts and my talents to make a difference in this world. Turn to the person next to you and tell them the world is waiting on your yes. The world is waiting on your yes. Now tell them your yes makes a difference. Come on, turn to your second choice and tell them your yes makes a difference too. You too. I want to speak to you from the message title, Made to Make a Difference. Made to Make a Difference. And if you are a note taker, write this down. God made you uniquely different to make a unique difference. You're made to make a difference. God made you the way that you are, uniquely, so that you can make a unique difference. And I want to teach out of Matthew chapter 25 today. That's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 25. And what leads up to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus' disciples are asking him, Lord, what will the end of this age look like? Kind of like a lot of people today. Are we near the end? I saw locusts and this crazy storm and things getting hit by lightning. It must be the end. And God tells us, no one knows, not even Jesus, only the Father. But the disciples are asking Jesus, what will the end of the age look like? And what will it look like when heaven comes, when you establish your kingdom? And Jesus goes and tells a bunch of little short stories he calls parables. And parables are just a small story with a big meaning. And then he comes to Matthew chapter 25 and he explains to them this parable. And he says, I'll tell you a story. It's the kingdom of heaven. The end of the age is like a man that went on a journey. He goes away for a long time and he puts his servants in charge. He gives them possessions and he gives them property. He gives them money. And some of your Bibles, it'll say a talent. And some it'll say gold or silver. It'll say silver from Matthew 25, the NIV that I'm reading from today. But he gives them things to take care of and he goes away. And then one day the master comes back from the journey and he wants to have a report, an account of how did it go? Basically, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you do anything with it? And this is the story I want to pick up in Matthew 25. I'll start in verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags, how many? Five bags of silver to one. Two bags, how many? Two bags of silver to another. And one bag, how many? One bag of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Don't miss that. Notice each servant got something different. Each one of the servants got something different. One got this, one got that, but each in relation to and in coordination with their ability. Not better, just different according to their gifting, their ability. And it keeps going, finishing up verse 15. Then he left on his trip, verse 16. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earn five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant, and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and you lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. And then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who had 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a great story. I mean, it kind of preaches itself, but I want to unpack it for you a little bit in this story. Jesus is the master, if you didn't pick that up. He's the master that goes away. He's gone to heaven, and one day he will return and come back. We're the servants in the story that he entrusts things to. The silver is just a representation of everything precious that God has given you. Your time, your family, your talents, your resources, opportunity, your gifting, ability. 2 of the servants use what God gave them to produce more. They put an effort behind it, a grace-filled effort. But there was a wicked, lazy servant. He takes the master's money and he buries it. But Jesus tells him, You must have not known me as your master, you lazy servant. Because had you known me, you would have at least done something with what I gave you. He doesn't condemn them. He wants to encourage them. And so the question that Jesus will ask all of us one day is the same thing he asks of them, is what will you do and what have you done and what did you do with what I gave you? One day Jesus will return. He lived a life that you and I were supposed to live. He died the death that we should have died. 3 days later though, he rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Several days later, he goes to heaven. He leaves the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can go and make a difference. And one day he will return and he's gonna ask, Hey, what'd you do, Rock Church, with what I gave you? Not to condemn you, but to reward you. If you truly knew him, it's to reward you because he gave you gifts. How many know he gave you talents? He's given you resources. He's given you opportunity. He's given you dreams. And the question will be, what did you do with the gifts God gave you? Did you use them for Jesus or did you bury them and do nothing? Or maybe use them on yourself. And Jesus wants to know, what did you do with what I gave you? And I don't know about you, but when he returns, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear Jesus look at me and tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. I didn't need you to do all these things for me, but because you knew me, it just came out of you. You knew me. You became a disciple, but you didn't just know me. You took other people along the journey with you. When you go together, you grow together. You got better together, but you didn't just stay there. You found out. You discovered I gave you a gift. I gave you a talent. And with that, you went and made a difference. It's incredible. I heard one pastor say it this way, that Christians are like manure. When you pile them all up together and keep it there, they stink. But when you spread it out, it changes the whole landscape of the world. We're called to make a difference. I want to make sure you make a difference. So I want to give you 3 ideas today, 3 steps to ensure that we make a difference. Here's the first thought. 1, we got to identify your gift. I want to make sure that you identify your gift. Did you know you have a gift? Some people get more excited to hear that they got a package than to find out they got a gift. You get that text, hey, front door, what's up? Been waiting 2 weeks, it's here. Wait till they see me in my fit. I'm gonna kill them. I got a gift, I got a box, I got something, and you get the UPS delivery or you get the Amazon Prime, and you always know when they come in this bag, ooh, When it comes in this one though, with a little bubble wrap on it, this is nice. There's a watch in here. There's something good in here. I don't know what it is, but it's here. But some people are more excited to find out they got a package. Came up on your Ring doorbell. You got a text. Your spouse, hey, can you go real quick? Because it just came here. I need you to leave. Yep, I know he's dying. I need you to leave right now. Yeah, I know. Is he choking? Yeah, just give him somebody else. You got to get my package. I got a package. I don't want anybody to take it. I want you to make sure you get there. But how often do we find out and we come into the house of the Lord and you hear, I got a gift, but you walk right by the gift? I'm excited to be here, to know God. I'm excited to come into the house of the Lord, and you hear someone say, I want you to know God, come on in. I want you to grow with this beautiful family. By the way, you have a gift. I do. I'm just happy to be here. I'm too busy to identify my gift. Some people get the gift. They grab it. They open it. They look at it. They come inside and they just set it back down. Because I identified it, but I don't do anything with the gift. But here's what God's word tells us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 6, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who works or who does the work in all of us. So there's different gifts for different kinds of ministry and for all the many different ways God wants to use you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, each of you has a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Everyone has a gift because we've all been made on purpose for a purpose, no exceptions. Everybody's got one. Everybody has something that's unique about them. By the way, you don't want my gift, you want your gift. You don't want what I got, you want what God gave you. You don't want to be that porch pirate taking other people's gifts. You want to come home and go, God, what do you have for me? Come on, someone got jacked this week? Oh, man. Dang. You want what God has for you. This past week, I was in Alabama with Pastor Miles and our executive pastor, and we were coming back to return the rental vehicle and met a guy named Parsa. Shout out to Parsa. I told you I'd share this story. And Parsa's there, and he's like, where were you guys coming from? We went to a church conference. We were at this church. And he goes, oh, I've been to that church. I actually went to their Bible college. And so I asked Parsa, are you still there? He goes, no, I was doing it. I loved it. It was great. But something happened. While I was there, I was still working a job at New Balance. He was a shoe salesman. And one day he was selling shoes and a woman came in the store and they started talking and she goes, wow, you kind of remind me of my son. I said, wow, that's interesting. And he was just doing his job with excellence and serving her and helping her. And they began to have a discussion and for whatever reason, she just felt comfortable to share the pain that she just experienced. She lost her son. And she started to cry right there in the shoe store. And Parsa had been to the Bible college, but now he's at New Balance. God can't use me at New Balance. I gotta be at the church. I gotta be a pastor. But right there in that moment, while he's selling shoes, he's talking with this woman who, she says, he reminds her of her son who just passed away and God created this God moment. And in that moment, he said, well, I'm not gonna wait for the Bible education. I'm not gonna wait for the pastor to come. I'm just gonna use my gift to encourage her right here. And he began to pray with her and minister to her and help her. Pastors aren't the only ones that make a difference. And Parsa realized, wow, I got a unique gift to me. I got the gift of encouragement and I wanna encourage her and I wanna lift her up and I wanna prophesy over this woman, even though it's right here in this mall, in this shoe store. Your gift is unique and God gave it to you uniquely to make a unique difference. If we wanna make a difference, we gotta first make sure I identify my gift. Here's the second thought. Number two, we're gonna develop your gift. Once I identify my gift, I have to develop my gift. It takes time. We have to work at it. You gotta grow in it. It takes time. I remember the first time I told my kids about a Polaroid camera. They have these little mini ones and they're kind of too small for this illustration, but I was telling my kids about it. And they're like, so what does it do? It actually comes out. They got the iPhone, you take the picture, you got the picture. I said, no, Polaroid. You got to, you know, once you turn it on, you hold it down. There you go. Only got 7 photos in this thing. All of this for 7 pictures. So make sure you don't blink. Come on, somebody. Take a little picture real quick. Everybody smile. Here it comes. Complicated. Got my Polaroid. What's crazy is there's no picture. Well, here's the thing. You listen to too much Outkast. You gotta shake it like a Polaroid picture. Turns out you don't. Turns out you shouldn't do that. I read the instructions. We were in the back, like, we gotta make sure this thing works. I'm gonna do this and take it out. And it takes like 30 minutes. It doesn't just happen. In fact, it says don't touch it. Don't put it in too much light. Don't shake it like a Polaroid picture. Makes it worse. Because what am I doing by shaking? I'm like, speed it up. Speed it up. Do something already. Work already. Let me see the result already. Let me see this thing happen already. It's not happening. It says, no, you should put it down. Flip it upside down. Put it somewhere where it's out of the shine, out of the light, away from people, away from fingers. Put it down and let it develop. I told my kids this and showed them. They were shocked. Wait a minute. I took the picture. I should have the picture. But same thing for you. I have the gift. I should have the result of the gift. But God wants to develop something in you. Sometimes away from the light, away from the stage, and away from the people and the praise. And we love the final product, but we don't like the process. I want to see it finished. I want to see the big result. I want to see the money. I want to see the business. But God's like, no, I gave you the gift, but what do you get? You got to develop the gift. You don't just show up to the moment. You got to make sure that you're growing in this gift. Just because you have the gift of leadership, don't expect people to get in line and start following you right away. You got to go and do leadership things. You got to go and exercise and develop that gift. Just because you have the gift of encouragement, it doesn't mean you show up places and go, hey, everybody, I'm here. So let you know, I have the gift of encouragement. Be encouraged. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You actually got to go and be encouraging. You got to take the time to develop it and try it and go, I'm going to talk to people and I'm going to go to the shoe store. And in that moment, I'm going to take the opportunity. I'm going to believe God that I know I got the gifts, but I'm sitting here waiting for it to happen. But God wants you to develop the gift. Now, Romans 12, 6-8, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, what? Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is given, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Once you discover your gift, you got to develop it. You got to develop the gift. I may have been made to make a difference, but I have to remember, and you have to remember, that every day God is working in me and on me, and it's still making me to every day still make a difference. So I'm going to identify my gift. I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to develop my gift. Here's the last one, 3. I'm going to commit my gift to the Lord. I think this is where we lose some people. I got my gift. I'm working on it. I'm using it. But when you do what you do best, who gets the glory? It's a question. I hope he does. I remember in 2004, I dropped out of San Diego State. And I had just finished my junior year of college. And I had a bad breakup, and the girl I was dating was at the school, and I'm like, peace. I don't want to be around you. I'm out. Told my parents I'm going to go sell real estate. My parents were in the real estate industry. My mom, my dad, my sister. I'm going to go do what you've all done. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go make a difference. They said, you finish out the semester, we'll support you. Great, boom, finish, bam, I'm out. Started selling real estate. And along that way, started to realize as I'm at the same time raised in church, discovering my gift, specifically of communication. And we had these scripts, any real estate people in the house. And you'd memorize these scripts and you'd make phone calls when it was too early in the morning. No one wants to talk to you. We're calling people. And I was pretty good at it because I could talk. And there was one lady who didn't want to list her house to for sale. She wanted to sell it herself. We called that a FSBO, for sale by owner. And I'm like, I'm going to get her to list her house with me. And I wore her down on the phone with my gift. And so I showed up to the appointment because nobody else could get the appointment. And I get to the house, this house here in San Diego somewhere down south. And I walk in, older lady. I'm young, 20-something, barely. And I sit down, and I can already tell she doesn't want to list this house with me. But in my mind, I got the gift. I'm going to wear her down. I'm making it. Let's go. And so I'm sitting her down, and we go over the details of the contract. And I wore her down, and I got her to sign this contract. And she listed her house with me. And I went, man, let's go. Can't tell me nothing. It's my gift. I'm a good talker, communicator, speaker, whatever. I'm using it. About to get paid. I left there on such a high. 2 days later, she called me and canceled. She never, ever wanted to list that house. But I used my gift to wear her down and to give me glory. Here's what God's word says. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Psalm 37:5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. A lot of people know their gift. Some of you have even taken time to develop it. Use it, get good at it, go to conferences, watch YouTube videos, practice it, watch other people use that gift. But you haven't committed that thing to the Lord yet. You haven't given it to God. And with this story, then we'll wrap up our time. Basketball playoffs are happening right now. Lakers are struggling. They won last night. Come on. Amen. And for the purpose of this story, I was really pulling for them. Because there's a debate going on around who's the GOAT. Depends on what generation you're with. MJ, Michael Jordan, or LeBron. For the sake of this story, we'll just say it's LeBron. Don't come at me after church. I'm a man of God. Let's just say it's LeBron. He's great. He's a GOAT. And if you don't know what GOAT means, it's G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. This guy can take over a game. In fact, they even said that last night. He got 30 points, had half the points in the fourth quarter. The woman interviewing said, LeBron, how does it feel to know that you can just come in and take over the game? This is amazing, got 30 piece, it was awesome. But how many know that even though LeBron, the GOAT, can take over a game and win a game, a GOAT cannot win the championship. You need a team of people. And we got some GOATs in ministry, by the way. We got some greatest of all times at this church. And I'm not talking about me or Miles, our pastor. No. I'm talking about people like you. We got some GOATs in this house. I'm talking about Tom Warrens, who serves, and he's out at 5:30 in the morning putting up signs outside before you even get here. He's a GOAT. Thinking about Stephen Bowler, who was in every ministry, sets up the baptisms last week, and he's here handing out things. He's here tearing things down, setting up. He's running back and forth, serves with provisions. I mean, just the list of endless of things. I had to write them down to remember what he's done. Catherine Inko, Catherine's PST, our pastoral support team, hospitality. She's in prayer ministry, healing ministry. I mean, she does she's a goat. There's so many people that are just taking over. In fact, they make so much difference, they make enough difference for you and the person next to you. They're a goat. But if I'm honest with you, they're pulling some of your weight. They're trying to take over the game without you. We don't need more goats. We need more sheep. We need the whole flock. We need the whole flock of the body of Christ to go, I'm gonna become a disciple. I'm gonna know who God is. I'm gonna grow in this community. And then I'm gonna realize that I got a gift. I'm gonna develop it and I'm gonna commit it to the Lord. Why? Because I wanna go and make a difference. God made me and he made you to make a difference. Uniquely made to make a unique difference. I'm so grateful for the people that serve this house. So grateful for the people that make all of this happen. The person that made this door is an incredible man. That's someone like you. Skilled, gifted, has a gift, but uses it for the Lord and does his own thing outside. There's so many stories. I want to give you that chance today to commit yourself to the Lord. Commit your gift, commit your life, commit everything you have to the Lord so that you can say, Lord, I'm not just walking in the house looking at other people's gifts. In fact, I'm not even walking in the house picking up my gift and not doing anything with it. Today is a day where I commit to coming into the house. I see my gift. I'm gonna discover my gift. I'm going to life class next Sunday at 11 a.m. I'm gonna take the spiritual gifts test they offer. I'm gonna get on a team. I'm gonna go make a difference. My life will never be the same. That's what God did for me. I want him to do that for you. Why don't you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your son Jesus who lived for us and died for us. He went away and one day he'll return and he's gonna ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Not to condemn us, but to reward us. And my hope and prayer is that he would say the same thing to every single person under the sound of my voice. And he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's go celebrate together. You've been faithful with this. Oh, I'm gonna put you in charge of so much for the rest of eternity. So Lord, may we seek your kingdom above all else. May we commit our ways to you. Help us right now, Lord, to discover that we were made to make a difference. Now, first step though, is just to come into a relationship with you. Before we get the gift, we gotta know the giver. And so as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's someone here that needs to just meet Jesus and give their life to him for the very first time or recommit your life, because you've been living for you, I want you to pray this prayer. Pray it in your heart, repeat it after me. Just say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I need you. I've been living my way, but now I want to live for you. So Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, fill my life. Forgive my sin. Make me brand new. I confess you as Lord of my life. Give me a great new purpose. Give me a new heart. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer to meet the giver today, I want you to raise your hand so I can see you on the count of three. One, two, three, raise your hand. Come on, lift your hand, lift your hand, lift your hand. Awesome, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Awesome, that's great, that's great, that's great, that's great. Lord, I bless every single person in your name and pray that you'd fill them up with your power, fill them up with your mercy and grace. Use us, Lord, to all go make a difference today. May next week's life class be just overflowing with people going, I heard the pastor say that I can come and learn my gift. I came to find out. Use us for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand, Rod Church. Come on, let's thank the Lord.